think Eric has a very small world. He lives in a small world. Well, the name of my message tonight is, and you just heard this recently, by the way, it's only a test. And Pastor reminded me of this years ago. I don't even remember exactly what it was, but he was going through a trial. And for some reason, I just said to him, I said, it's only a test. And I don't know where it came from. Other than the Holy Spirit just told me to say that. And he said that's all he needed to hear, just to remind him that God tests us. And into the message, I've got to share two things with you. One of the high point of my week is teaching second and third grade boys at their Sunday school. That's my high point of the entire week. And just recently, I was trying to get them to make a decision. And I said, if you were in a situation where it was serious, it was a serious decision that you would have to make, and what would you do? What would you do to be able to make that decision, that you made the right decision? What would you have to do? And everybody's, they're staring at me, but nobody's saying anything. And finally, Taden was sitting in the back, and he said, call 911. I got one more for you. See, this is the truth. I also, in my in my other Sunday school class last week, I was at the end of the class trying to get them to think about things that I know they know, but I just want to see if they can remember. And I said, there's God, but there's three persons in God. I said, there's God the Father and God the Son. And a little boy put his hand up. I think he was here for the first time. Put his hand up and he said, the Mother. The Father, the Son, and the Mother. I guess you had to have been there. Okay. All right, so tests. You know, a test is something that you do to establish the quality of a thing. Could be a car, could be a truck, or some appliance, to see what its performance is or its reliability. That's a test. And, you know, nobody wants to take a test, especially if you have to go to the doctor and he wants you to take a test. I had so many tests, and fortunately, they were all negative. Is that right? Does negative mean positive? Or yeah, it's good. If it's negative, it's good.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Well, they were all negative, fortunately. But no one wants to take a test. When I was in high school, and our teachers would say, you know, there's going to be a test on Friday, everybody just... Nobody wants to take a test. But one of the reasons is because you have to study to get ready for it. And, a test not only shows what you know, but it shows you what you don't know. And we test things all the time. We test food. I always remember that commercial, I don't know when it was, maybe in the 70s. And there was three little boys, they were brothers, and they're sitting at the kitchen table, and their mother bought a new box of cereal that they had never had before, and they weren't going to eat it. They were afraid. So the little brother, the littlest one, Mikey, they said, give it to Mikey. So they poured it, and Mikey tasted it, and he said, this is delicious. So they all ate it. But they wanted Mikey to test the cereal first. But we test food, you know, we test it, we taste it, and we say we like it or we don't like it. We test our ability, our physical ability, by walking, exercising, many different ways that we test. And it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, 5, verse 21, it says to prove all things. And prove means to test. It means test all things. Don't just take it for granted. If somebody says something, prove it. Find out exactly. Do a little research if you have to. And let our tests be for the good. You know, the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, they were testing God in a negative way. They were selfish. All they were thinking about is themselves. They didn't put their faith in God. They weren't trusting Him. They were testing Him. They were tempting Him. They were trying to see how far they could push Him. I'm talking about testing in a good way. And it says in Malachi 3:10, God says, prove me, test me. He made a promise. He said, if you tithe, I will open the windows of heaven and rain down blessings on you. And he said, just try it. Test me and find out. And you know, there are a lot of people today, unfortunately, that they don't do it. They don't tithe. But tithing is important. And I can only say it, not because it says it in Malachi, and not because somebody else told me about it, but because I've done it and it works. It pleases God. And God has, when you please God, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And when you please God, God has no choice but to reward you. If you have children and they do something good, don't you want to reward them? How much more does God want to reward us? And test God in a good way. God tests us mainly for obedience. And God will test you by asking you to do something that seems totally impossible. But God will give you the strength to do it. And I can only think about I think it was 2017 when Pastor was on sabbatical for about a year. Steve and Bob and I did the preaching. If someone told me, if someone ever had said that I would be in that place and have to do that, I could never imagine doing it. But God gave us He tested us. I believe we passed the test. And that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that when we get tested by God, that we pass. Too many times when we're tested, people have a tendency to give up. And they don't go the mile, and they certainly don't go the extra mile. And God has tested men in the Bible. I couldn't list all of them, but I could just give you a few examples: Abraham, Noah, Daniel, Jonah, they were all tested. And they all, Jonah is, he was a bad example. But I plan to talk to him. I do plan to talk to him someday. Abraham was ready to put the knife in Isaac's throat. And when God said stop, he was ready to do it. He passed the test. And God always provides a way. And he'll tell you to do something, and you'll be amazed that you'll be able to do it. Not through your own strength or my own strength, but through the strength of the Holy Spirit. A few examples of where we're tested on a daily basis is what we see. And I just heard someone say this recently, is that what you look at is what you are. And it's very, it used to be that it was billboards or magazines that you could be tested with. But today, it's your telephone. It's your cell phone and your computer and your laptop. And I don't have a computer and I don't have a laptop. I do have a telephone, and that's it's more than what I need. But these are instruments of testing, and we're tested every day by what we see. And we've got to be able to make a quick decision. And flick the, when you sit by a fire, in a fireplace, a wood-burning fireplace, and it sparks, and the sparks fly out, and they fall on, you have to flick them off. And that's just the same way when you're tested. You've got to just flick off the ember. Because if you don't, it'll burn you. Right. A few years ago, I'll tell you exactly when it was. It was September the 24th, 2001. Our son Greg wrote a poem. And this poem, it was prophetic. what it was saying is, and I'll read it at the end, but what it said, or what the name of it was, a storm is coming. And someday God's going to test us in a very, very difficult way. God tests us because he loves us. And he wants us to learn from our tests. If we fail, that we get back up and we keep going and serve God. And this poem, "A Storm Is Coming," was our desert storm, and it was when Eric was killed in Iraq. And I know you've heard this story many times, but it was a trial. And someday, we have little trials daily. But there's an echo in here, I think. You hear it? But someday we're going to have a big trial. God's going to give you a big trial. If you haven't had it yet, you will. It could be sickness. It could be death. It could be an accident. It could be anything. I don't know. God does. And God's going to test you. He's going to give you an ultimate test. And I'm not trying to scare anyone, but I'm just saying you need to be prepared for the ultimate test that God gives you. And how do you get prepared for a test? One of the ways is that you pray, and not just pray when you need something or pray once a day, but that your life is all, your life is, your whole life is close to God. You don't go looking for God when you need something. God's with you all the time. But you need to acknowledge his presence and live your life that God isn't someone that you have to make an appointment to see. He's there all the time. And we've got to make sure that we are prepared. Prayer is one way. The other way is by God's word and memorizing God's word. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Every Bible verse that you memorize that's in your mind, God will bring it out exactly when you need it. And it may be the time that you need it is, it will be the time that you need it is when that trial takes place, that test takes place. Prayer, the study of God's word, and our attitude toward God. Prayer is an attitude toward, it's our attitude toward God. And we need to have our attitude, we need to have our life focused around God so that when that trial comes, and I'm going to explain it to you, the one we went through, so that when that trial comes, you're not going to fall down. You're not going to go to pieces. You're not going to leave the church. You're not going to, I've met so many people in giving the gospel through the years. I ask them, where do you go to church? I don't go to church anymore. My mother died, and when she died, I gave up the church. Or my grandmother, or my uncle, or, I don't know. Some people use that as an excuse, I believe. I don't know that for a fact, but it sure seems that way to me. We need to be consistent. And we have to decide that we're going to be prepared. When two people get when a couple gets married, they decide to love one another. We use the term you fall in love, love at first sight. And that's true to an extent, but you decide to love a person. You don't fall in love with that person. You decide you're going to love them. And you decide you're going to love your children. You decide that you're going to go to church and you're going to be consistent. And that God is going to be the center of your marriage or your life if you're not married. But there is a storm coming. And today we had a snow squall come through, and it just obliterated everything. You couldn't see a thing. You could see around our house, but in the distance it was just white. It was a snow squall, and it blocked out everything. You couldn't see anything. It's when accidents happen on the highway when a squall comes through, and they have these chain reaction accidents. Because you can't see. But if you're prepared to take the test, you'll be able to see. It won't make any difference if you can't see visually, but you'll be able to see, you'll be able to understand what's going on. And I remember that day, September of 2005, I was sitting in my office. And where I sat at my desk, I could look out the window and I could see the driveway and the road, and I saw this car drive up, and it was a black car. And it was very shiny, and I saw two soldiers get out, and I knew then exactly what happened. And they went to the front door of our house, and my office is a separate building, and I went out my side door and went around, went in the side door of the house and came in and met them at the front door. And they said to me, and these soldiers are trained to be able to deliver this message that you're, in our case, they said, are you Eric Slobodnik's father? And I said, yes. He said, we're. And they told me that Eric was killed in action. And I found out later, most of the time, they're trained to do this, and they were standing back away from the door because some people go ballistic and do things that I couldn't even imagine happening. But I invited them in, and they sat down by our dining table, and we talked. And I said, "Was there anyone else?" And they said, "We can't mention names." I said, "Well, was there anybody else that was killed?" And they said, "Yes." And we talked, and for a few minutes, one was a sergeant, the other was a captain. The captain actually lived down the road from us, and I gave him the gospel. I explained to him, I said, Eric was killed, but I said, I know where he is. And later on, this captain, he told me, he said, I never experienced anything like that before. And it was a trial. And God was testing me, and Cynthia wasn't home. So I had to tell Cynthia when she came home. And I had to call his brother and go through all the notifications and all of the stress. It was a trial. It was a test. And I also found out later on that most families, they break up after something like that happens. There's usually a divorce. And one blames the other. And Cynthia and I, the center of our marriage, God is the center of our marriage. And we weren't going to let that. We weren't going to flunk the test. And it was a hard thing to do. But we were able to do it only by the grace of God were we able to do that. And we had generals and high-ranking army officials there, and we were more than once able to give the gospel. I think of one major that prayed with us, and we kept in contact. Well, I just can't think of her name, but we've been in contact with her. She's saved. She got saved at that time. And you know, if you're not saved, all things do not work together for good. But I mean, when you are saved, God promises that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and those who are called according to his purpose. And that's how you get through a trial. You prepare for it, so that when it happens, you're able to get through it. I'm going to read you that poem. It's not long. A Storm Is Coming is the name, and it says, dead silence, so silent except now I think I hear the cool wind blow past my ear. The sky darkens an ugly gray, and I almost hear God say, a storm is coming. Now the wind howls as it goes, my body shakes as it blows, a storm is near. The rain now begins to fall, it soaks me through all in all. The lightning flashes in the sky, and Satan says in reply, the storm is here. I cover my ears as the thunder roars, and in my heart I feel remorse. For in my youth, my father did say, a storm is coming, coming someday. We need to be prepared for it, because it's going to come. I don't wish it on anybody, but God means it for good. And all things work together for good. Precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. If someone's pleasing God, hey, if you own something and you want it and you've loaned it out, so to speak, but you decide you want it back, is there anything wrong with that? God owns all of us. And if he wants us in heaven, if he's got something for us to do in heaven, hey, it's his right to take us. I guess maybe I could understand it, but it's hard for me to understand when someone gives up on God, when a trial comes and they just give up on God. They try and take all the burden on themselves, of which we cannot do. But we need the Holy Spirit to do that. And I'm just encouraging you tonight, be prepared. And God will see you through it. Hey, if you're in church every Sunday, you're here on Wednesday, you're here soul winning on Thursday, God's preparing you already. God's word is more precious than any course you can take, than any book you can read. There is one book, and that book is the Bible. And if there's anything else that has something positive, it came from the Bible. But the basics are here, and God has preserved them for us. All these years, God has preserved every single word for us. And we have no excuse. We have no excuse to serve God. We have no excuse to give up on God. We have no excuse, because God has given us everything. He's chosen us, he's saved us, and he's put us in a place where we can grow spiritually. And we can influence one another. And we have to be prepared. And remember, whatever it is, whenever it comes, even on a daily basis, it's only a test. And I want to pass. I want to pass that test, the ultimate test. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we just give you thanks for your word. Thank you that we have all of your promises in one place, in black and white, that we can read them and we can memorize them and that we can live them, Father, but only through the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own ability, but in your perfect will. And Father, we just ask you, Lord, that we would be consistent in serving you, and that we would be prepared, not only prepared to meet the trials on a day-to-day basis, but to meet the storm that's coming. And Father, we pray that you would bless each and every member of this church with that desire to serve you and that desire to be prepared. And we ask it all, Father, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.